My guest at this time is Bing West. He's a Marine Corps veteran of the Vietnam War, served as an Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration, and since 9/11 has been embedded countless times with U.S. Army and Marine Corps forces in both Iraq and Afghanistan. He's written six books based on those experiences. The most recent, and he says final book in the series, has been published. It's entitled 1 Million Steps, A Marine Platoon at War. In the first part of our conversation, which you can find on this website, Bing walked us through some of the very frustrating rules of engagement for American forces in Afghanistan, from having to positively identify the enemy to actually calling in for legal permission to launch artillery strikes against enemy positions. But in our several minutes today, particularly on this sobering and somber anniversary, we want to get Bing's thoughts on what it's been like over the years to be embedded with America's best and brightest, those serving this nation and defending us in uniform. And Bing, thanks very much again for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
In this book, you follow the 3rd Battalion of the 5th Marine Regiment as they did very dangerous patrols in Sangin Province. I think that's how it's pronounced. What was it about that area that made it so much more challenging and so much more deadly than most other areas of the country?
Well, it was the hottest battle of the war. More British troops before the Marines got there, and more Marines, more Americans were killed in Sangin than any other place in the country. And the basic reason was that the Marines and the British had gradually squeezed the Taliban tighter and tighter in a province called Helmand, which was the heartland of the poppy fields that supply 90% of the heroin and opium to the world. And therefore, the Taliban had great finances there. And gradually they were squeezed more and more. And finally, when they got to this one district called Sangin, the Taliban said, they're not going to take this from us. And so that's what caused the battle.
Bing, obviously some very intense and in some cases deadly fighting here. How close did you get to all this?
Well, I embedded with the 3rd Platoon that was about a mile from outside of friendly lines. We were living in a farm where the Marines had hacked caves out of the farm walls, and that's where we lived. And every day that we went out, we'd go in single file. And the terrain, Greg, to me, looked just like Vietnam because there's one large river. And for about 3 miles on either side of the river, the vegetation is extraordinarily thick. And so it was just like being back in Vietnam. And we went single file on these patrols, generally about 14 or 16 Marines on each patrol. And the point man was watching out for the mines, and he had a mine detector. And he would drop bottle caps, and the last Marine in line would pick them up, and the rest of us would make sure we walked right on the bottle caps where the point man had swept for mines. And ordinarily, on average, we found one or two mines a day and probably killed about one Taliban a day. But this went on for 200 days. And before it was over in the platoon had begun with 52 men, and of the original 52, only 27 were standing at the end. And in the book, I try to explain how this platoon of really ordinary young Americans who were going back into civilian life, 75% of them are back now in civilian life, how they found the courage every day, kept the courage to keep going, and how they kept raising up leaders. When one leader would be hit, and so we lost some terrific leaders, the next leader would take over.
As I mentioned in the beginning, you've been embedded with our forces in Iraq and Afghanistan more times than just about anyone except you and probably your wife can count. You went back time after time after time. Why?
Well, I thought somebody had to tell the story who had been in combat at the same level that they were. And the generals and colonels hadn't been because they came up after Vietnam, so I thought I could go back there and go back with these platoons and try to explain to people what it's really like down there, what are they really doing. And I think it's heartening for this country because when you're out there with them, they won't admit it, but they're not, you know, everyone loves saying that they fight just for each other. That's not true. They've all volunteered first because they want to serve this country of ours. And they didn't even know each other before they got on that battlefield. It's just that they get very skittish about saying, well, I'm patriotic. They just don't like to talk that way. But in their hearts, they see themselves as our guardians, and they are tough. I mean, the Islamists are scared of them. So I have great hopes for where we're going in the future. I just feel that President Obama got a little bit off track, but our country, in when you look at these young men that are volunteering and young women, they're just terrific. So I have high hopes for where we're going, Greg.
What characteristics stand out? It's been over a decade now. You obviously served along great people in Vietnam as well. What qualities of these people stood out to you most?
Well, the interesting thing is, when I look at them versus my generation, when I was in Vietnam, we were better looking, but they're a little bit more muscular today. But they're smarter than we were. They're more questioning of authority. But authority at the lower levels has a way of communicating back and forth with them about what they're doing and how they're doing it. They plan better, and they have a recognition of how to use technology that no one can match. I mean, the way we use air on a battlefield when we're allowed to use it is astonishing. We can see every individual, Greg, on a battlefield from 10,000 feet, and we now have a way that the soldier on the ground is looking at the same picture. And so they have higher technology, they are more intelligent, and they are just they're just as dedicated to their country as they were in the past.
Last question. A very interesting kind of appendix to the book is a survey you did of these platoon members in Afghanistan. And while a lot of their answers probably wouldn't surprise people, they don't really trust the Afghan people. They think they're easily bullied by the Taliban. Over half of them think that Afghanistan will probably be a mess soon. As you point out in the book, they were frustrated by the rules of engagement. Yet 92% of them said they'd do it again.
Yes. Yes. And the platoon leader asked if I talked to the platoon before I left. And I said, hey, look, guys, we know this is going to be screwed up. But so what? You could have read that in the newspaper before you joined. You know that you joined because there was something in you that said, I want to be a warrior. And I'll tell you what. Anyone who wants to come back with me now, I can speak to the general and I can get you out of here. Who wants to come with me? And, of course, no one raised his hand. And I laughed and I said, you see what I mean? I said, you like to complain, you bitch a little bit, this, that, and the other thing, but you know you love being here because you're having an adventure. I hate to say, well, people should just hear it. You're having an adventure that only one in a thousand will ever have. And when I went back in Vietnam, I went back to my village, and we had lost 7 of 15 of us, and afterwards I wrote to the others a couple of years ago, and I said, boy, I was back, and I was really wondering, things didn't seem to have changed. The other guys who were still alive said, sir, don't you even start thinking like that. We all went in there together, and we'd all do it again. So there is such a thing in our culture, Greg, as some people who believe they were born to be warriors. That doesn't mean they spend their lives in the service, but it does mean they're willing to go out and fight for us and then go back into civilian life and be able to say, yes, I fought for my country.
Well, our country is forever in their debt. And Bing, your service to your country, both in uniform and in embed assignments with all these troops over the years, a great service to all of us as well. Thank you for the book. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Bing West, Marine Corps veteran of Vietnam. He served as an assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration, has been embedded countless times with the Army and Marine forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. The latest, and he says final book, 1 Million Steps, A Marine Platoon at War. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.